I invite you to turn, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My text will be verse 9, but I would like to read verse 7 through verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, Paul writing, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." As I look around at this dark, sinful, evil world, I wonder how we can make our way with any measure of peace. Well, let's face it, this world is full of trouble. There are afflictions on every hand. Life is not easy. Murphy's Law seems to prevail. And it's no wonder that some people genuinely think that the only hell is the hell on earth. But then I turned my mind to the grace of God. There is where the answer to our problem lay. The world is dark, but there is light from God. The world is evil, but there remains God's righteousness. The world is sinful, but God extends forgiveness. Life is hard, but His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. I submit unto you that God bestows abundant mercy upon us, that by His mercy and through His compassion, God gives us what we need, not only to deal with the stresses of life, but also peace for eternity. God gives us grace. Grace to be saved by, and grace to live by. John Newton understood this when he wrote the third and fourth verse of Amazing Grace. "The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." I'd like to speak to you out of our passage today, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, a message I have entitled, God's Grace. I want to turn your thoughts to God's grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being here. And Lord, help us as we look into your word today, that despite of what we see all around the world and the circumstances which we may be in and the society and the trends, Lord, we pray that you would just grant us all the grace that we need. You said that you would. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and we trust you to do that. Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your grace, not only in saving us, but giving us what we need day after day after day. And so we commit these things to you today, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We do pray for those in our midst who are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that today might be the day of their salvation, that they would recognize your grace upon them unto salvation. And so we commit this to you. We love you and we honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I think about God's grace today, and I'm convinced that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from our Father above. And despite the ills and woes of life, the pain, sorrow, and heartache, God gives grace. It is as Jeremiah cried out after the destruction of Jerusalem. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So I further submit, my friend, that no matter what you're going through, God has what you need. That reminds me of a song that's in our hymn book. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. to added affliction. He addeth His mercy to multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. The chorus says, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. I want to think about God's grace today. We read verse 7 down through verse 10. So let's notice the context. And then in a little while, I will arrive at our passage. Verse 7, I want to remind you as you just glance at the text, we'll not read the verse again, but we found that as we read there that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And the reason he had that thorn in the flesh, because he had been privileged with many privileges and benefits. God had showed him so many things, and he had been made known to great truths and revelations. And so God allowed this thorn to come upon him, brought this thorn upon him, if you will, because this thorn was going to keep him humble. So you read in verse 7, lest he should be exalted above measure. He has this thorn. Now, when I read the passage, I recognize that God has permitted an attack by the devil. This is a thorn, a messenger of Satan, it says, but it was permitted by God. Doesn't that remind you of Job? You go back to the book of Job and you read about him, and you'll find in the first chapter how that, well, there was a little contest, if you will, between God and the devil one day, and the devil brings up Job. God brings up Job and says, "See my servant Job." And the devil says, "Well, yeah, but look at everything you've done for him." And then God just gave him a little bit of slack. Said, "Well, you can do anything you want to him. Just don't touch him." And so he lost all of his family except for his wife. He lost his herds. He lost all kinds of stuff. And he didn't deny God, did he? But each time, as you'll go through that story, you'll find that Satan says, "Look at what you've done." And God said, "Well, I'll let you do this." And finally, God just said, "Well, you can do anything you want to him, just don't take his life." And so God allowed Satan to strike him with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. And he suffered tremendously in the physical realm. Why? Because God permitted it, but Satan brought it. And that's what I see here with the Apostle Paul. This messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh, was something that God had permitted. And so we understand and would recognize that implied in this is the truth that God allowed this for a purpose. And he already stated that purpose: to keep me humble. That's what we find in verse 7. Well, of course, in verse 8 we read how that Paul didn't like it and he prayed for its removal. Now, nobody likes the thorn in the flesh. Paul didn't like his. And so he asked God that he would take it away from him. And what we learn from this is that not everything in life is enjoyable. Not everything that we experience is going to be pleasure to us. And Paul did not like the thorn in the flesh, so he prayed that God would take it away. But I also learned from this that it's okay to ask God to remove things. Sometimes people get the idea that, well, I don't really want to ask about that before God. I don't want to be selfish. Ask God to remove those painful things. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. The Apostle Paul did. Doesn't mean he'll take it away, but you can ask. And so Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He didn't like it. And so he prayed that God would take it away. And what we found in verse 9, and look at it once again, is that God denied his request. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so God did not take it away. He said, "I'll give you grace instead. You'll keep this, but I'll give you everything that you need." So Paul, with my grace, God says, you will be able to endure it. My grace will be sufficient. Do you recognize, my dear friend, that God shines most when we do not? God shines most when we do not. And so God denied his request. And you look at the last part of verse 9, and so what Paul decided to do is he opted for Christ's power over personal peace. Now, he wanted it to be removed. He prayed three times. God said no. And so then he decided, well, instead of getting what I want, I would rather have God's power. And so you look into that text there at the latter part of verse 9, you see the word power. That word power comes from the word, well, in our English word, we would think of the word dynamite. But it's the word for power. It's the word for strength in the original language. It is an energy. It is power. It is might. It is ability. And if you look into verse 10, you'll see the word strong. Down at the end of the verse, he says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. It comes from the same Greek root word. It's the idea for power. And so this word strong means the ability or having power, to be powerful or to be mighty. And so Paul says, I would like to get rid of this, but God said he wasn't going to take it away. Therefore, I'm going to offer God's power to rest upon me so that I might be strong. And what we find is that with Christ's strength, Paul gains power that he didn't otherwise have. I mean, think of that for just a second. If God would have answered Paul's prayer and taken away the thorn in the flesh, would he have the power that Christ said he would have to endure this? He wouldn't have it. He wouldn't need it. And so he would be missing power or strength if God would have answered his prayer. But instead, God said no. But I will give you everything that you need. My grace is sufficient. So Paul says, that's fine with me. I'll take your power. Because in you, I can be strong. You see, strength doesn't come when we are self-indulgent or self-sufficient. We won't find strength in that, will we? We find it when we recognize we need God, and we're going to avail ourselves of Him. So Paul said, gladly will I glory in my infirmities. And then in verse 10, Paul gladly chose affliction so that he could be strong in Christ. So instead of getting what he wanted, he'd rather have Christ's power, and so he chose this affliction so that he might have that kind of strength. Now back in verse 9, those two English words, most gladly, do you know what that means in the original language? It means most gladly. That's exactly what it means. The word means to with the greatest of pleasure. Isn't it interesting that Paul says most gladly? He doesn't say, well, I'm happy to do that. I'll put up with it. Most gladly, with the greatest of pleasure, I'll keep this thorn in the flesh because that is when I have power. That is when God's grace is the greatest. And so he says, most gladly in verse 9, in verse 10 where I made reference, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. And that word pleasure there, it's not a happiness like we think of it, but it's the idea of thinking well of or approve, to take delight in or to pleasure in. In other words, most of the time we want to get rid of infirmities. We don't like the pain. We don't like the suffering. We don't like the heartaches. We want to dump them off from us. Paul says, I will delight in them if it means God's power to rest upon me. If it means His grace to be upon me, that's what I will do. You see, what I find here is that Paul chose affliction so that he could be strong in Christ. And so we learn from this that God's power supersedes man's pleasure or man's peace. We would rather have God's power on us than have all that the world could offer us. We'd rather sacrifice and be in pain and have God's power than to have everything that the world has to offer and not have God's power. I think of a passage, a related text over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in that great hall of faith there. You remember what that scripture says about Moses? Man, he had the world at his fingertips, did he not? He had all of Egypt at his beck and call. He had every opportunity that life afforded. But it says in chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews verse 24, through verse 26, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's what I think of when I think of Paul here. Paul says, I will take pleasure in my infirmities because that's when God's power is on me. That's when I'm really strong. And so God's power does supersede any of man's pleasures or peace. And we learn from this passage that God will meet us in our needs. I know sometimes it doesn't look like that He will, but God said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God will meet your needs. And I would remind you that God's grace is sufficient. We read that in verse 9. That's what God stated to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. And in the original language, that word means that. It means to be a service. It is to avail. It is to suffice or to be enough. What I have for you, Paul, will be everything that you need. It will be absolutely enough. It's not going to come up short. That's the passage. That's what we find here in this text from verse 7 down through verse 10. But let me offer you some considerations. Back up then to verse 9. Talking about God's grace today, let's focus in on this first part of the verse. And he said unto me, here it is, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Few considerations. First of all, grace defined. What is grace? The word grace here in the text, in the original language, comes from a word which means charm or beauty, even the idea of gracefulness. But that it, then it is a matter of a generous gift. It is free favor or a free gift. It is grace. This word is found 155 times in the New Testament scriptures. 128 of those times the King James translators translated it as grace. Grace. Other times it's translated as the word thanks. Also as gift and joy. But the idea of grace, the main root of this word that we find the word grace is, it means to rejoice or to be glad. It is to have strength. And so when we think of grace, we call it unmerited favor. That's how we define it. God has favor upon us, and it's unmerited. What a graceful thing that it is. And if the acronym, I like the acronym that is used often with grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, grace. And grace is what we need but cannot obtain. It is what we require but we do not deserve. Truth is, we need grace, but how are we going to get it? We can't concoct it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. How are we going to get that? And so, of course, we're concerned about favor from God. We want God's grace, and so that grace has to come from Him. And so we desire that God would bestow His grace upon us. And so when you think, He says, my grace, it's God's grace of which we're interested from. I know that we can be graced by other people and, well, our family may be gracious toward us and our supervisor at work can be gracious toward us or our neighbors can be gracious. We're not talking about that kind of grace today. We're talking about God's grace. God's grace. God's grace brings joy and enables us to rejoice. Life can be hard, can't it? Things can be dark. But God's grace allows us to have joy. That's what Paul recognized. I will glory in my infirmities. I will suffer through all these things because that's when I'm strong. That's when I have His power. That's where real joy comes from, Paul says. And so he desired God's grace. And so God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And certainly we understand that grace is a gift, isn't it? Grace is a gift. God's grace is something that is bestowed upon us. And God's grace demonstrates His favor for us. He delights in granting us grace. So the next time God gives you grace, which is very soon, I'll recognize God loves me, God favors me, God desires, and He delights in me. And He gives me grace. It brings pleasure to Him, and it brings pleasure to me. That's grace, isn't it? God's grace, unmerited favor. So I submit unto you when we look at this, and Paul says, we read here that my grace is sufficient for thee. It is for my strength is made perfect in your weakness, God says to Paul. We learned, and we certainly can apply to our own circumstance, that God's grace is needed, isn't it? Is there any of you here today that would stand up and say, I don't need God's grace? Everything's going great for me. Life is just a bed of roses. No troubles, no trials, no tribulations. Never had any, never will. Anybody dare stand up? Well, you'd be foolish if you did. You know why? Because our human circumstance demands grace. We need grace. I also submit unto you that God's grace must be bestowed, and we already mentioned it. And so it is not earned or deserved. And so when I look at my life and I see the circumstances and the way society is and all that's going on, I need grace. I need God's grace. But I can't make Him give it to me. I can't cause Him to bestow it upon me. It's only what He chooses to do, but He has chosen to do so. That's the good news, isn't it? That's the encouragement. But we also find when we look into this passage that God's grace can, but doesn't always remove us from the circumstance. If you're like me, you're saying, God, take this away, change this, fix this, and make it all right. That's what we want. But God doesn't always do that. God will give us grace to endure. And that's what he tells the Apostle Paul. I am not taking that thorn away from you. You need that thorn. And that thorn keeps you humble. But you do need grace to bear up with it. So I'm going to give you everything that you need to handle that thorn. And you will have my power. And Paul recognized that. And so realize, my friend, God is not going to remove every obstacle. He's not going to take away every hindrance of life, every pain, every heartache. He's not going to take it away. But don't get angry with God. Turn to Him. Look to Him. Call upon Him for grace to endure. Grace to endure. So I submit unto you then that God's grace enables us to endure the circumstance. I look around at the world and I look at them and I say, I don't know how that these lost people do what they do. I don't know how they endure what they endure. But I know that if God should put me through the same trial or tribulation, that He will give grace to allow me to endure. Because that's who God is. That's what God will do. God may not take it away, but He will give us the grace that we need to take it. But I would offer to you that would be true if we would avail ourselves before God. Some people don't do that. They say, well, I'm just going to do it myself. I don't need God. I'm just going to grit my teeth and knuckle down, and I can do it. I can do it. Well, my friend, you can't. Look at your circumstance. Consider your situation. Recognize you need grace. You need God's grace. You need what He has. So you must avail yourself before God. I would encourage you, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And yes, God will give us the grace to endure if we would avail ourselves of Him and if we would accept His grace. Some people don't want God's grace. They don't want His power. They want to do it on their own. Oh, that's a sad choice, my friend. Don't go that route. You need the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. I would also remind you that He will give us the grace to endure if we would deny ourselves our pleasure. See, that doesn't make a lot of sense right there. Well, what does the Apostle Paul surmise? I will gladly, therefore, take pleasure in my infirmities. Now, he wanted to get rid of it. But God said, no, but I'll give you grace. So instead of pursuing that concept of, I've got to get rid of this, I've got to get rid of it, I've got to dump it off, God, please take it away, he stops and he says, your grace is sufficient. I will gladly then glory in my infirmities. I will take pleasure in these things. Instead of what I want, Lord, I will leave it in your court as to what you want. And if it's your will that I should have this, and this is my burden, this is my circumstance, then I know you will give me everything that I need, and I will have the power that I need. I will have the strength to bear up so that you will be glorified. That's what I find the Apostle Paul saying. And so I would then conclude, and I would also express to you, I believe that grace comes when needed and not before. I believe God gives grace. When Paul didn't have the thorn in the flesh, he didn't need the grace to endure the thorn. Why? Because he didn't have the thorn. But when he had the thorn, he cried out to God. God wouldn't take it away. He said, I'll give you grace. And he gave it to him when he needed it. And, well, we talk of dying grace, don't we? Turn, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. We talk about dying grace. Well, I don't need it till I come to die. If I'm going to live another 30 years, I don't need dying grace right now, do I? I do when it comes to death. Do I believe that God will give me grace when it comes time to die? I believe it with all my heart. Because God gives grace. He gives it when we need it. Hebrews chapter 4, I've invited you to turn. It's just a verse reference in regard to our circumstances and the grace that we need, where we can find it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You don't need it before, but you need it now. Come to the throne of grace and cry out to God, and He will give you the grace that you need. That's what I find. A tremendous amount of grace. He says, come to the throne of grace. Same word in our passage, by the way. Grace. And what happens when we come before God's throne of grace? We find mercy. Mercy. And that word mercy means that. It means mercy. It means pity. It is a matter of compassion. God has compassion on His people. So come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. He'll have compassion upon us, and we will find grace to help in the time of need. That word help there in the original language means help or to give the comfort that's necessary. But the main root of this word, I like this, and every time I preach this and refer to this text, I like to bring it up. The word properly means to run to the aid of those who cry for help. That's where we find the comfort. To run to the aid of those who cry for help. And He says, if you cry to Me for help, you will find grace in that time of need. You will find exactly what you require. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul is saying to us in the passage? Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him? As he said, God, will you please take this thorn away? I can't take it any longer. And God said, I'm not taking it away, but I will give you grace. And my grace will be sufficient. God's grace. How tremendous. So in closing today, do you have a need? Maybe yours is a circumstance or an affliction. Difficulty of life. Perhaps they said it's cancer or surgery. Whatever it might be. Do you have that kind of need today? Or maybe you're here and you're lost. Dear sinner friend, your greatest need is the need for forgiveness. You need the grace of God to be saved. Without it, you will not have eternal life. You need God's mercy. Would you turn to God? Would you cry out to Him so that you might be saved? So whatever your need is today, physical or spiritual, recognize that you have a need. And then I would encourage you to turn to God with your need. Would you plead for His grace? Would you be willing to say, God, I can't do it. God, this is too much for me. As a sinner, I cannot save myself. Would you turn to God? Would you call out to God for His grace? God, give me grace. Would you be willing to lay aside your desires? I mean, I'm talking about those comforts or those pleasures or anything else along that way in order to receive what He is willing to give. Paul could have said, no, I don't want your grace. I want this stuff gone. But he didn't do it. He set His pleasures aside. He set His will aside. And He said, if that's where I have strength, if that's where I have God's power, if that's where His grace rests upon me, then that's where I want to be. Makes a difference, my friend. Makes a difference. So would you receive the power that He has for you? I submit unto you, only then and only then can you be strong. Your strength is not sufficient. But God's is. You want strength? You want power? Then you must submit to Christ. You must receive His power. Sinner, would you be saved today by receiving His grace? By having forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Christian, heartaches, troubles, trials, grace is there. Would you turn to God? Would you accept God's grace? Whatever your need is today, my intention is to remind you of God's grace and point you to Him so that you would turn to Him and receive the grace that you need. Whether you're lost that you might be saved, or saved that you might endure whatever is going on in your life, God has everything that you need. God's grace. how wonderful it is. Let's stand, we'll sing. Song will be number 201. Father, we thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts and just move by your Spirit. Grant grace where grace is needed. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Number 201, standing as we sing.